Well, let's go ahead and open them to 2 Timothy chapter 2 today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're in the process of, we're interrupting Smed's series that's in Isaiah. And he's going to get several more interruptions coming up this month with a baptism service. And we actually have Massimo Malika with us August 24th. Massimo is one of our missionaries who's in Italy, and he and his family are back on furlough, and so they will be with us. We'll have a baptism Sunday and time with Massimo. We're going to talk about leadership development at Grace Bible Church as we begin to kick off our fall series of training classes. So before we go any further, let's pray, and let's ask God for help as we look at his word. Father in heaven, we're so grateful and thankful that we have your word and that we could think about all of the things that we've already thought of this morning, that we could sing the truths that come from your word in the songs that we sang. We can think about a transformed life that is marked by a righteousness that pleases you, that comes from you, that we could rejoice in the death and the resurrection of your son and what it means for us who believe. That we could think about participating in the gospel mission by sending families across the globe. All of this is because of what is found in your word, and we're grateful, Lord, for your word. Pray now that you would use it in a way to direct us and to guide us so that we might think rightly about what your plan is for the church to sustain itself and to multiply itself with qualified leadership. And so, Lord, please draw near to us that we might be pleasing to you as we understand your word and obey your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. For my trip to South Africa that I took earlier this summer, I was asked to prepare a seminar on how the local church should plan and develop men for leadership in the local church. So in sermon form, I attempted to show, when I went to South Africa, from Scripture, what's been driving us as a church for over 10 years. And so today's sermon comes from that seminar that I preached in the pastors' conferences in South Africa, but we're also ready to kick off our training ministries next month. And so we wanted you to see the bigger picture of what it is that drives Grace Bible Church concerning the development of spiritually mature, spiritually qualified leaders for our church and beyond our church. So I'm going to approach the subject of leadership development this morning primarily with a focus on men. But we will talk about also what we do have for the women and how we train women in the church in the ministry that's called Wellspring. So I'm going to primarily focus on the men today. So let's start first with the key text that drives us, at least at the foundational level. Number one, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Paul is writing his last letter to Timothy, and he exhorts him in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 2. He says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul was being given revelation from God by the Holy Spirit on what the church is and how the church should function. And Paul handed those things off to Timothy, and now he is commanding Timothy to entrust that apostolic teaching, that New Testament doctrine, to Timothy and to other men in the church. And I want you to notice the command in verse 2. Entrust these to faithful men. Entrust them. There is only one kind of man that New Testament apostolic teaching for the church is supposed to be entrusted to. What kind of man is it? It's faithful men. Faithful men. Whatever our efforts then are as a church in developing men, they have to result first in helping men to become what kind of men? Faithful men. That's a character trait. That's a character issue. That means the man must be faithful to God. Men must be faithful to the truth of God's word. Men must be faithful to the gospel. Men must be faithful to their wives and their families. Men must be faithful in the church. Men need to be faithful in their ministry responsibilities. If our labors as a church to develop men don't contribute towards the creation of faithful men before God, then GBC will not have the right kind of men to entrust the teaching of the apostles to. It has to start here. It can't leapfrog this. And then notice in verse 2, it says, these men, these faithful men, are the men who will be able to teach others also. It's a future tense. So it kind of puts you in the present and the future. If you put yourself in Timothy's day, in the now, what is Timothy supposed to be looking for and focusing on? Faithful men. For what point? In the future, that those faithful men now will be able to teach what has been entrusted to them, the New Testament teaching. So faithful men now, able teachers in the future. You see, the temptation for the church is always to be looking first for dynamic speakers. People who can capture your attention by the way they speak. They're good communicators. When what the church really needs first and now is what? Faithful men. Faithful men. So again, whatever our efforts in developing men are at Grace Bible Church, our efforts must result first in helping men to become faithful to God. Then we will actually have the right kind of men to entrust New Testament doctrine to, and they can teach it to others. You see, God wants to tell us here the kind of man that he's interested in teaching the Bible to his people. Faithful men. God wants men teaching the truth that the instruction that the church needs. He wants men to do that. But it can't be just any old kind of man who does it. It must be a faithful to God kind of man. Let me illustrate this for you in a simple way. If the World Cup just finished in Brazil, so sorry for my Brazilian friends. It's heartbreaking, I know. Imagine you were going to go to Brazil, you and your family, and you spent all your time planning for where your family was going to stay in Brazil. And you were planning and spending so much time selecting the games and the cities in which you would go and attend the games and where you would eat. And you would spend all this time on how you should act in Brazilian culture. I have no idea how I should act in Brazilian culture. I'd want to know that. I might even try to figure out how to teach myself, my family, some Portuguese and so forth. But imagine you spent all of the time planning that, but you never purchased airline tickets to Brazil. That's a no-brainer, right? Of course you would do that first. You see, you focused on so many other good things, but you missed the foundational thing that gets you to those other good things. And the same thing can happen in developing men in the church. There are so many good things for the church to focus on with men. Oh, make sure they have the right theology. Make sure they know how to preach and teach. Make sure they have the right ministry methodology. Make sure that they can give a good defense of the faith from the scriptures. But what is foundational for the men of this church is that they be men of character first, faithful men. That's the foundational thing that then gets you to the other good things that men in the church must get to if they're going to be spiritual leaders. So that's number one, the key text that drives us. Let's talk about number two, Grace Bible Church's plan, and it's a layered approach. What do we mean by a layered approach? Well, I think 2 Timothy 2:2 has kind of introduced it to us. At Grace Bible Church, we start with that important foundational layer of spiritual leadership in the church that has to do with character. And then after that, we add other important layers and more good things to it. We go after leadership development in layers. We don't have a one-size ministry or a one-size-fits-all ministry that does everything in a man from start to finish of what he needs to be. So I'm going to talk about layer one first. What do we want to do in layer one of leadership development? We want to disciple men toward faithfulness to God. That's everything we've just been talking about. And our ministry that does that is the ministry we call BUILD. And BUILD stands for Becoming United in Leadership Disciplines. We don't assume that a man will just become faithful to Jesus because he's a Christian and he goes to this church. I don't want to make that assumption. We want to help develop and train and disciple that man to become a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. So the focus in build is on godly character, holiness of life, faithfulness to God, a life of integrity. And in build, we have six discipline, leadership disciplines that we focus on. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm only going to address the first four. They're more of the key ones. So for those of you who already know this, let me remind you of these disciplines. And for those of you who are new, let me introduce you to them. There are four areas that we strive to disciple the men of Grace Bible Church in so that they become faithful to God: the heart, the household, the ministry, and the qualifications. And they'll be up one at a time here in just a moment. So let me take these one by one. And by the way, the first three are exactly the same three for the women in Wellspring. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. So let's talk about number one. We want to focus and disciple the men of Grace Bible Church in the area that we call the heart. What do we mean there? We mean we want the man to be faithful to God at the heart level. If we're aiming ultimately to see the men of Grace Bible Church become faithful men before God, that means we need to aim for the Word of God coming into contact with their heart, first of all. The heart, according to Scripture, is the inner man. It's the inner person of the heart. Of the man, of the woman, the seat. It's the seat of all and foundation of all of your thoughts and words and attitudes and deeds and desires and relationships. Everything comes from the inner person, the heart. It's who you are before God, inwardly speaking. A faithful man before God is one who knows how to care well for his heart. With the Word of God. God designed His Word from the very beginning and the heart of the believer to be in a full contact sport with one another. In fact, I want to show you with two passages, one from the Old Testament. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and then we'll also look at a New Testament passage. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, very familiar passage to you, I know. This was God's command to Israel through Moses. You, verse 5, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. So Israel was to love God with everything inwardly speaking and to assist them in being a people of love for Yahweh. God gave to them commandments from Him, and those words were to be on their hearts. That's God's intent from the Old Testament. Look at a New Testament example, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is what Josh prayed through. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. And it is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You see, God's intent for His Word is that it would come into full contact with your heart and tell you what the thoughts and the intentions are of your heart, of your inner man. So God's intent is that the Word of God and your heart be in a full contact sport. And a man who's faithful before God is one who knows this and does it on a daily basis. A man faithful before God is one who does not need to be told to bring the Word of God to bear on his own heart. He just does it. A faithful child is one that you don't have to say to day after day, did you make your bed? You didn't make your bed? And then the next day, you didn't make your bed? But then they do it afterwards. You still don't call that child a faithful child because the child hasn't got it yet. And you don't call a man a faithful man before God until he knows this, and he doesn't have to be told to do it. It's his desire to do it. It's his discipline. It's his self-discipline to do it. It's his self-control to control himself to do it. We don't assume that every believer knows this and knows how to do this. So build becomes our tool that we use to train the men in this, and we don't want to leapfrog over this. Where would be a good place to start? Well, it'd be good to start with the gospel, to bring the gospel to bear on the men's hearts, on believing men's hearts, to bring the gospel to bear, a penalty being paid by a substitute, an innocent one, the God-man, Jesus, so that the believer who's being saved, that their sin is atoned for. It would be good to teach the biblical response, bring that to bear on the heart, to repent and to believe. It would be good to teach, and this is what we teach, all of these things, that what you become upon belief. You become somebody new. You become somebody transformed. You have a new life. We begin to teach what union with Christ does to men. The way we talk about it oftentimes is before Christ, you had an unmixed condition, unmixed in sin, sin through and through, not an ounce of anything pleasing to God anywhere within you. In heaven, with Christ, another unmixed condition, but this time completely different from that old one. This one has everything in it that's pleasing to God, holiness of life, righteousness that's only pleasing to God, not mixed or tainted with any sin. But what on earth are we right now? We are in a mixed condition in Christ. Before Christ, unmixed. With Christ in the future, unmixed. In Christ now, a mixed condition of sin indwelling that entangles us, but it is no longer our slave master. That kind of man, that kind of a woman in Christ needs to be discipled and trained how to bring the Word of God to bear on that heart. Believers are in such a mixed condition that we must bring that mixed inner man, that mixed heart, into daily contact with the Word of God in order to become a faithful to man kind of God. Before Christ was in your life, you had no desire to bring the Word of God to your life. In heaven with Christ, there will be no need for you to bring the Word of God to bear on your life because you will be everything the Word of God has said you would be, and you will see Him as He is. But right now, you must labor to bring your heart and the Word of God together. You need to shepherd your heart, your mixed heart, to God's Word. So we teach the men that the Word of God must have a central place in their pursuit of Jesus. And so we teach them, we model for them, we train them that their interaction with the Word of God is one that should be a worshipful pursuit of God. The way that we talk about it is you come to the Word of God to get the God of the Word. It is so easy to come to the Word of God to get a lot of other things. Important things. It's far too easy to come to the Word of God to check off a box because you know somebody in small group is going to ask you if you read your Bible. It's far too easy to come to the Word of God because you've got to win a theological debate in small group. It's too easy to come to the Word of God simply because you need to have a good answer for that tough question that the guy in the cubicle next to you at work asked you. It's too easy to come to the Word of God just to prepare for a lesson or a sermon. In fact, it's far too easy to even treat the Word of God like it's merely an instruction manual for living. You come to the Bible and say, God, just tell me what to do. All of those things are important in their own place. But that's not enough. That's not why you ultimately and preeminently come to the Word of God. Scripture is the revelation of a person, a being. This book is the best that we can have of God right now. These are His love letters from Him to us, and we miss Him desperately. So first and foremost, men must come to the Word of God to know who this God is, to love Him more, to fear Him more, to worship Him, to enjoy Him, to delight in Him. And we don't assume that men know this and know how to do it. I had to have this pointed out to me when I was an elder. It was humbling. So we want to teach and to train and model this for the men. How can a man be faithful to God if that man does not come to the Word of God to know and love and worship the God of the Word? How is a man faithful if he doesn't do that? And so we teach the men that in this mixed condition, they must do this. If a man is going to be faithful to God, he must become a faithful to God man at the heart level. And that means his heart must be in a full contact sport with the Word of God. So we train men in this. We don't assume men are already doing this. The second area in build that we strive to disciple the men of Grace Bible Church in so that they become faithful to God is the household. What we're talking about is being faithful to God in household relationships. So we teach the men to place a priority on faithfulness to God in their homes, because that's what the Word of God puts the focus. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6 again, the verses that just followed where we were. Verse 7, Moses continued in instructing Israel, and he said, "You shall teach them, you shall teach these commandments, teach them diligently to your sons, And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Where was the first place of impact for Israel to be? These faithful men who were loving God with everything and had the word of God on their hearts. Where were they to make their impact? Household relationships. And the same is true in the New Testament. We have the confirmation in Ephesians 5 that men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And we find out that men in Ephesians 6, verse 4, are to make sure that they train their children and not exasperate their children. So the emphasis from Old Testament to New Testament from God for us has been that we should have the first place of influence with a faithful to God heart. We must influence the home, first of all. How odd it would be if a lot of other people outside a home felt the spiritual impact of a man while the family didn't feel it from him. That's wrong. And so we actually start teaching this in Build, but we don't start teaching it there. Actually, Josh in student ministries is teaching young believing men in student ministries this priority, that they must be faithful to God in their household relationships. So in student ministries, my son, your sons, your daughters are being taught that they need to be sons and daughters who care well for their own hearts. Let me point it and focus it on the young men. They need to care well for their own hearts with the word of God, that they need to be sons who then walk into their household relationships and they selflessly love their siblings and they honor their moms and their dads. And where it's appropriate to co-labor alongside dad as they get older, they begin to take on some of those responsibilities in the home. We teach then, even when they go off to college and they're single men outside their home, that they need to live with other single men in their house and they need to not be knuckleheads with each other, but actually love each other and care for each other with the word of God and bring the gospel to bear on them. Now then, imagine a young man in his later 20s. He's been doing that for a decade. He's 26 years old, and he's been doing it since he was 16. Not perfectly, but he's been laboring for 10 years this way. It's been his practice to care well for his own heart with the word of God so that he could be a faithful man to God. And then it's been his practice to care well for those in his household with God's word. And even when he was in college, he was rooming with other young men. It was his practice as a faithful young man to care well for them with God's word. Now, imagine dads with daughters. Imagine that 26-year-old guy coming up to you and asking for your daughter's hand in marriage. I'd be like, here it is. Yes, you are an answer to prayer. Is that not an answer to prayer? Okay, I wouldn't give the boot, but that was to show enthusiasm. Okay, enthusiasm in all of the right ways. Isn't that what you're praying for, dads? Dads, isn't that what you should be praying for? We disciple and we train the men of our church to be faithful in their household relationships from the earliest of days. And we don't assume that men are doing this because they're Christian and they go to Grace Bible Church. Now, they know how to do all of that. We train them. And as the man cares well for his wife and the children that are coming, and that man will be ready then for greater ministry opportunities in the church. And think about the qualifications for elders and deacons. How many of them involve the household? A one-woman man manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity, has faithful children who are not accused of dissipation or rebellion. We need to focus on these things. Now imagine that for years, again, we've been teaching, discipling, training the men to be faithful to God, so they're becoming more and more disciplined in shepherding their hearts with the word of God in order to know him, and they're caring well for those household relationships that they have. Now, a man's been doing that for a while. Now, what kind of ministry in the church or outside the church would you like to give to that man? Any ministry. All of it. Let him do anything he wants. Because he's the right kind of man. He's a man of integrity who is not leapfrogging his heart nor his household. And that's the third area we strive to disciple the men of Grace Bible Church in, so they become faithful men before God. It's the ministry. What are we talking about? We're talking about men being faithful to God in ministry in the church and outside the church. So they're faithful in shepherding their own hearts. They're faithful in shepherding their household relationships, bringing the word of God to bear on those people. And then those men need to become faithful as they step into the lives of other people in the church and outside. Too often a church feels the pressure of just needing somebody to lead a Bible study or take on the college ministry of a church. And from that pressure and that urgency, they just grab the nearest man with a pulse, right? And none of these kinds of questions have been asked of him. What kind of man are you with the Word of God when it's open? What's that look like for you? What's your daily practice of bringing the Word of God to bear on your inner man look like? No one asks questions like, how are you caring for your wife with the Word of God? Your children? Did anyone ask his wife what she thinks about his pursuit of Jesus? What she thinks of his spiritual care for her and for the children? You see, for the man who's been faithful with God's Word at the heart level and in his household relationships, what he needs next is opportunity in gospel ministry in the church. And so we want to train men to think carefully about that. And we focus in particular upon the life of the Apostle Paul. You can look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to show you just a couple of things there. Obviously, if you're going to do gospel ministry, you need to know the content of the gospel. But you need to know also more than the content of the gospel. You need to be the right kind of gospel minister, the gospel servant. Look what Paul says in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 1. Chapter 1, verse 5, he says at the end of verse 5, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. He's drawing their attention to the kind of men that they were. It's not just that you have the right content and that you can tell them about penal substitutionary atonement and repentance and faith, but you need to be the right kind of man among them. Look at verse 6. You became imitators of us. Ah, in ministry, you need to be imitatable. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, approved by God kind of men. Look at verse 7. We proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for his own children. And what is he drawing attention to over and over? The kind of minister of the gospel that he was. Verse 8. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. So not only do you need to know the content of the gospel, not only in Build are we trying to teach the content of the gospel, what we're trying to train the men that they need to be a certain kind of man in ministry. Now, we've covered the first three. Let me sidestep for a moment and address what we have for the women in this. At this point, what do we do for the women of the church? Because I approached this through 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, which says, these things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's not a whole lot in there about women, is there? Well, we have a women's ministry version of this called Wellspring that seeks to do the same thing, essentially. It's called Wellspring, and we named it after Proverbs 4:23, which says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Sound familiar? Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. There's the wellspring idea that the heart is, the inner person is the wellspring of life. But in regards to the training and the discipleship of the women of the church, we approach this from the key text that is Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. I want you to turn there. Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Older women, Paul says to Titus, likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure, to be workers at home, to be kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. You see, in a community, God wants his word to be set up high and to not be dishonored. And what we do in our households can dishonor it. And women, you have an exalted, privileged ministry with each other to labor in each other's lives in such a way as older women to younger women so that God's word remains unmaligned. It's not dishonored. So God has given you an exalted, non-negotiable ministry in the church. It's a ministry of discipling and training other women. Well, the older women are going to do that with the younger ones, Paul says. The older women who are best qualified for that kind of ministry are women who shepherd their hearts to the Word of God to know the God of the Word. And the older women who are best qualified for that kind of ministry are women who are also bringing God's word to bear on their own household relationships. And those women are the ones with spiritual integrity who should step into the lives of the younger women in ministry in the church and bring the word of God to bear on their lives. Now, for the women of Wellspring, we have two different offerings for it in the fall. We have Thursday mornings, and it is from 9 to 11 a.m. in the morning. And the Thursday morning Wellspring has a ministry for kids that we call Wellspring Kids. And by the way, I believe we are still in need of some servants for the kids on Thursday mornings this week. So if you are interested in that, you can come talk to me or email the office or call the office. If you want to train Heather and put her through the test, you can call Heather in the church office. She'll work through that for you. And that begins September 11th, on Thursday, September 11th. And but we also have a Saturday Wellspring for the ladies that meets from 7 to 9 a.m., and that begins 2 days later on September 13th. And there is no kids ministry with that. There is no part for the kids in there. And by the way, the Wellspring Kids part, it's not daycare. It is much, much more than that. It is amazing what these ladies accomplish with the little ones in there. So if you're new, ladies, to Grace Bible Church, if you will step into Wellspring, you will step into the heart of what this church is about in regards to women and being trained to be effective for Christ in the local church. So now, you see those same three disciplines for the ladies. Let's go back to the men's ministry version, build. And there's one more area that we need to strive to disciple men in so that they become faithful before God, and that is the qualifications. What are we talking about when we mean the qualifications? We mean men being faithful to God according to biblical qualifications. We don't want to point men toward being faithful to God at the heart level, in their households, in ministry, without at the same time pointing them to the two offices that are in the local church, and that's deacons and elders. We want faithfulness to rise to the standard of biblical qualification, to biblical truth that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's where the one list is for both elders and deacons. And then over in Titus chapter 1, there's another list for elders there. And so we put those lists before them, and we exhort the men to aim for a spiritually qualified life. We teach through those qualifications for deacons, and we encourage the men to pray through those qualifications. Now, only God can make a man qualified for ministry. Attending Build will not make any man in and of itself. It doesn't have power to make a man qualified for ministry. But we want our efforts in these ministries to be in alignment with the Holy Spirit, not in competition with the Holy Spirit in the lives of the men. So, and think of it this way, if a church doesn't have a plan, if a church does not have a plan for how to help men become deacon or elder qualified, should that church expect men to be elder or deacon qualified? That church really has no reason to expect that they will have men. Now let me flip it on the other side and push it kind of the other direction. If the church does plan for a pathway to help men become faithful with God's word, to be faithful men in their households, to be faithful men with the gospel and ministry, and the church places the qualifications before the men, does that guarantee that all men will automatically become elder qualified or deacon qualified? No. But may God be gracious to us as we try to align our efforts with his desire to have faithful men handle his word in the church. So let me give you layer one review again. Layer one of leadership development majors on helping men to become faithful men before God. God is concerned that the men who instruct the church with doctrine are faithful men. God's told us the kind of men that he wants teaching his word in the church. And we want to labor and help, not because God needs help, but we don't want to sit back. We want to participate in helping men. We want to be obedient to Scripture and urge them and nudge them and point them and admonish them and give them hope as they take steps forward. God's concerned that the men who instruct the church with doctrine are faithful men. And so the areas of primary focus in this first layer are the heart, the household, the ministry, and those three are the same for the women of the church, And then for the men, the qualifications. And so again, and I'm going to cut things off here. If you're new to the church, if Grace Bible Church is someplace you've been in that's new and you have not attended Build, you have not completed a year of Build, you haven't completed a year of Wellspring, I want to take the time this morning to encourage you that this is the first place you need to take a step towards, along with small group. Build and Wellspring do not replace small group participation. Build is not your small group. Wellspring is not your small group. Having your life connected with other believers in fellowship where you can carry out the one another's of Scripture in your small group, that's key. Build will assist in helping you to be a faithful man or a godly woman in your small group. And small group will give you tremendous benefit back the other way towards Build and Wellspring. But Build and Wellspring are like a gateway ministry that open the way for you to be a part of anything else afterwards in this church, to participate in ministry and to move towards leadership if that's your desire. We have a flyer over on the information table. On one side, it's all about Build, and it gives all of the dates. It gives a little summary of what it is. On the other side, it talks about what Wellspring is for the ladies. It gives you the two different days it meets, and it gives you everything you need to know. You sign up online at our website. There's a web link there for you to go to. It gives you all of the dates for the midweek Wellspring on Thursdays and for the Saturday Wellspring. It'll direct you to everything you need to know. We want to encourage you to go ahead and start signing up on the internet for that, okay? We can help you with that over at one of the tables over here. If you don't have internet access and you would like some encouragement in doing that, we can help you for sure with that. Another time we will do more on what leadership development is, but I do not want to push the temperature nor your patience. And so we're even going to skip the last song that we're going to sing because I don't know if you're as hot as I am right now, but we should end before we pass out. Thank you so much for your perseverance in this. I know this is a different kind of sermon where we're usually going through a passage of Scripture, but we wanted to kick off these at least foundational ministries for the fall and let you hear about them. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for just the joy of being able to be in a local body of Christ together, to be in a family where we don't have to be off on our own. We don't have to be lone rangers trying to figure out how to live the Christian life all on our own. Father, that's probably a very American way of life approach to it, where we don't need any help. Live a very private, individualized life, but your word quickly calls us out of that. In fact, your word calls us to repent of that kind of a life and to live a life that's in fellowship with others and that comes under the instruction of the leading and the teaching of the local church. And we pray, Lord, for these two ministries this fall as they begin. We pray for Build and Wellspring, that they would be pleasing to you, that it would be a pleasing thing to you to use these flawed efforts to direct men and women towards being godly and being men and women of integrity, being men and women who, first of all, just love you and desire to draw near to you through your word. So God, would you take our efforts, weak as they are, as full of holes as they are, will you take our efforts and will you bless them? Give them your power. Take the men and women who will attend and this year and bring them further along in Christ-likeness. Help us to meet this goal, this initial foundational character goal in the men of the church. May there be innumerable men who are faithful to you. Oh Lord, we need your help for this, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.